Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
The 2020 Olympics started about a week ago in Tokyo, Japan, after being postponed for more than a year due to COVID. Even though there are more positive tests now in Japan than at any point in the past, but the games must go on because there's too much money at stake. The country of Japan has spent roughly $15 billion on infrastructure and investment related to hosting the Olympic Games and are likely to incur a significant financial loss due to the delay and the lack of tourism. Foreign visitors are prohibited, and most events' attendance is severely limited. The Olympics, from a purely ideological point of view, are intended to be an international sporting spectacle where the best of the best gather to compete. I love sports and I should love the Olympics, but NBC just does such a shitty job that I have a hard time caring, but I've still watched a fair amount of coverage. I've often learned the results before I had a chance to watch the event. Tokyo time is 13 hours ahead of Eastern time, which means about half the events occur in the middle of the night. I've also found it strange this year that there isn't an information embargo as there have been in past years. I think this can be traced to the corporate competition. NBC has an incentive to encourage people to watch the primetime coverage, which consists of replays from earlier in the day, while other networks want to divulge the results so you'll tune in to the latest episode of Love Island instead of watching Olympic coverage that you already know the results for. So have you been watching the Olympics?
No, my children aren't watching it. Nobody in my household is watching it. I don't give a fuck about the Olympics.
So you haven't been watching swimming?
No, it's like, that's like the worst fucking sport in the world. The only people who like swimming, and this is a real statement, are individuals who grew up rich. And when I say rich, I don't mean like capitalist rich. I mean PMC, petite bourgeois rich. The ones whose parents could pay $400 for 3 months at the gym or whatever that number is in private swimming lessons. It's like a $2,000 a year sport. Because if you try to get on a team with private swim time, you got to take over an entire pool, like it costs a ton of money. It's just like how hockey is a rich person sport or a PMC sport. You can't play hockey unless you got money. Why? Because ice time alone is like $35 an hour per person every hour you skate because it costs so much money to keep the ice cold.
And the facility and the scheduling and the overhead associated with running the facility, hockey is expensive. So with swimming, there are actually a non-zero number of people in the United States that die each year because they never learned how to swim. And then the U.S. has an entire Olympic program centered around NBC spending billions of dollars on broadcasting rights to show swimming on the Olympics. I think the reason NBC shows the Olympics is because the U.S. wins at it, because it's literally a test of your country's affluence. The U.S. probably has more swimmers per capita than any other country.
I believe it. Yep. I don't see why you'd even think otherwise. It's just like golf. Like, how many other countries, you know, have like 400 golf courses per county? County subsidized. Like, I can tell you that every one of the counties in the United States probably has 4 or 5 golf courses and no swimming pools. Think about the county that you live in and whether or not you have a county subsidized golf course. And by subsidized, it could either be owned by the county and leased by a private entity, owned by the county, ran by the county, or a subsidized kickback through property taxes or sales tax abatements to keep it afloat, right, as a sporting thing. But think about that in contrast to how many soccer fields there are, baseball diamonds there are. That's like the amount of land taken up by golf is way larger than any other sport, and yet it's only affordable by the affluent. It's just like indoor swimming. There's outdoor swimming, but you're going to do that a few times a year when you're like north of like Tennessee or some shit. Who wants to be outside in Arizona and outside a swimming pool at noon when it's 128 degrees swimming in a pool so you can get like sun cancer? Yeah, no thank you.
And everybody else is at the pool too. So you just stand in this amorphous, basically sweat water. You can't even really swim, right?
Well, you can swim at like 6 a.m. when they have like lanes designated for old people to like float around in.
Well, isn't that when little kids go and play hockey anyways? Because it's cheaper then?
Yeah, because hockey, because the price of ice is super cheap in the morning. Like again, we're talking about with the Olympics and anything else. Like you don't get to the Olympics unless people have put $100,000 behind you, and that even may seem cheap. Because like somebody on the female Olympic team, and let's just go through gymnastics really quickly. In order for you to get to, let's say, the U.S. junior team, there's all these rules and competitions, right? I think they select 12 girls, all right, for the U.S. junior team. But to even get invited to go work out somewhere, you don't even get invited after the age of 11. So that means at age 8, you need to be hitting level 4 gymnastics. I only know this because I may or may not have been a USAG coach. So you need to hit like level 4, which is full-blown like kip-off bars and transition, all this actually skillful shit you have to do, like I can't do, at age 8. And have muscle tone and everything you need in order to do like 30 toe taps and a non-moving handstand for 30 seconds and like 20 kips off the bar and all of these really insane muscular things you have to do that costs you $200 a month or more to have your kid in there. So you have to start investing in your kid at $2,000 to $3,000 a year at age 8. So that 8 years they can get to the Olympics at age 16. That's $16,000 out of your pocket plus the facilities. It's a crazy amount of money. To get to the USA like qualifiers, to get to the Visa Nationals, I mean, you're working 4 hours a day in the gym and you're going to class at 6 p.m.
In order to even participate in gymnastics, as you said, your parents have to commit you to this. By the age of 8, there's a massive financial gate that is needed for you to even have a chance. Then you have to take an interest into it. And so there's all these barriers in place that whittles down the number of people that can actually participate in this to a relatively small number of people.
You have a certain body style that you have to have in order to do gymnastics. And so that means who can do it? The same kids that are 6'5" in eighth grade. The LeBron James, like the people that like you can tell have already had the genetics to go to the next level, right? The kid that's 6'2", 210 pounds in ninth grade, every time he hits the ball, it's cranked over the fence, right? Or the kid that's got a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, like, in third grade. Like, those are the kids that, like, you have to compete against. And no matter how much money you throw at them, you're never going to compete them. You can't be 6'4", like Michael Phelps. Like, you can't just go out and be like, I'm going to be 6'4 today. Like, this is not how it works.
So you're arguing that genetics play a major factor in why athletes are successful, and that's absolutely 100% true. But for every athlete that is successful at the Olympic level, there's an athlete that had the same body type that was too poor to even compete.
Absolutely.
And this is true internationally and in the U.S., which is why you see NBC show swimming on basically all of its primetime viewing, because the U.S. persistently wins at swimming. There are 100 different events in swimming. You have the 100-meter skip. You have the 100-meter gallop. You have the 100-meter run. You have, like, there's the backstroke, the fly, the butterfly. Like, there's too many fucking events for swimming, and nobody gives a shit.
Did you know that there's 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics?
I did, and the U.S. didn't even qualify.
Exactly. You know why?
Because nobody gives a shit.
Because nobody cares about 3-on-3, unless you're in Gus Macker.
Arguably, 3-on-3 basketball is probably the biggest sport in the United States, because everybody at the age of 12 probably participated in some sort of tournament.
The reason why basketball is so nice is because you get one ball, and you get to rent a basketball court for free. But I can't do that with swimming. I can't do that with rowing. I can't do that with archery. The archery and the airsoft guns that they're using, the rifles they're using in the Olympics are like $8,000. No one can pay for that. The Olympics are not necessarily about the sport, but they're about something, and I'm trying to put my finger on it.
It's either nationalism or profit motive, or maybe both.
I think that sounds about right. It's both. NBC uses this as a way to just advertise. Here's a secret. Using Olympic athletes is cheaper than using professional athletes.
NBC chooses to bid on broadcast rights. They spend millions and millions of dollars. And they do this in an effort to pursue nationalism. And they do it for profit. And the pattern is that most sports in the Olympics are only accessible to a certain demographic of rich people in the United States anyways. You have sports like running. Everybody from every country can run.
Yep.
There is flat ground and people have legs. You can run.
And you can do fake blocks or hurdles, right?
Yep. So the U.S. is disinterested in competing against those sports because they would actually have to compete. But what if instead we had sports like swimming where you had to be marginally affluent to compete? Okay, now let's find and create a system by which PMC parents can spend a significant amount of money. I think you said $16,000 on gymnastics.
And that's purely just in basic costs at your local gym.
Just extrapolating costs out to even get to the point where if your kid is good enough, they have a viable shot. Probably have to spend more on equipment and teachers, instructors, apparel, plane trips, stuff like that. But in order to even get to that threshold, the PMC had to slap down 15-20K. So what NBC does in turn is create this great story out of these kids that rose from nothing, even though they clearly came from parents with money, to excel in an international event where there was very little competition because the entire rest of the world is generally poor and doesn't spend time on dumb shit like golf courses.
Yep.
NBC then rallies the entire nation around these effectively rich kids and puts them on a pedestal and says, "You are so great." For the most part, Olympic athletes gain something from this exchange. They get sponsorships, they get fame and glory. You get your shitty interview on NBC, and it's hit or miss whether Jenna Bush is going to be sober that day or not. They get something out of it. They get the fame, the glory. You get your nominal check for getting a medal. It's in the thousands of dollars. So it's something, but it's kind of negligible in the context of how much money you spent to even get where you are. But NBC makes money. Visa makes money. All the various sponsors make money along the way. And the athletes are generally exploited, but it's an okay exploitation because they get something out of it. The entire Olympics is exploitation done in the name of nationalism because we want our country to win, because NBC is telling us that, and they have swimming on all the fucking time. And who gives a fuck about swimming? Like, it's not even fun to watch. There's nothing exciting about it.
Like, my family, my friends, nobody I know is talking about the Olympics. Like, I don't have even have cable for streaming, and so if I go to Peacock, it's like, you have to have premium to watch the opening ceremony. Like, okay.
Why would you spend money on that?
I'm not spending $5 a month so I can watch some dickheads dance around and light shit on fire. Like, I can do that outside by myself. So all it is just, like, wasting money. I mean, I think there was a time when it probably brought people together and countries together, and you had, like, you didn't have a way to foster that sort of well-being between countries, and every 4 years made sense because under globalism, there really wasn't globalism. It took you 3 months to get on boat, to get across, or whatever it is, right? But that was, like, for 5 years, or two Olympics, right? Like, it wasn't like the Olympics have been going on since 1200 AD in every country the world's been going. It's really it's a modern phenomenon that's happening. If you're watching the Olympics and you feel good about the Olympics, the propaganda for nationalism has worked. Because there's no reason to have an emotional attachment to individuals competing for the glory representing their country.
So the general concept of the games is supposed to be that it's an international competition, and it's framed to be nationalistic because it's supposed to be based on your country competing against other countries. Fine. From a pure competition perspective, that's an absolutely okay way to structure it. It's no different than having your city, the Mets, play whatever, the Atlanta Braves. You have to choose some locality to have a team play another team. It can be regional. Like, it doesn't matter. You have to choose something in order to have two teams compete against each other in sports. And so they chose nationalism, I guess. Oh, okay. So long as it's not a focus on nationalism, it's a focus on just the pure competition of the sport. In general, you never hear people talk about the Olympics and go, "Wow, that guy from Ecuador, like, rocked the shit out of that event, and it was really impressive." They're always like, "Oh man, that guy from the U.S., he got sixth, and it was just disappointing." And it's like, whoa. Who cares about the guy from the U.S. that got sixth? Let's focus on the guy from Ecuador that fucking spent his entire life being dirt-ass poor and, like, competed at the highest level in whatever the sport was and won. At a very fundamental, for the love of the sport, that should be the story. But it never is, because NBC just shows fucking swimming.
I would honestly rather watch the winners than watch us, for some reason, get medals.
Yes.
By us, I mean the U.S., because really it's filtered by, did we win or not? That's it.
That is the entire Olympic framing. Did we win? And they mangle the medal counts to say, well, we have more total medals, or we have more golds. So if you pay attention over the next couple days, you'll see that they changed the sort order.
Yep.
Because it's purely based on the U.S. needing to win, not any concept of this random guy from Ecuador is the best in the fucking world at this particular sport, and it's fucking awesome how good he is.
That there are lots of other things we can do with the amount of money that is just purely wasted on the Olympics. Not only the Olympics, but getting to the Olympics and the literal money-making farm out there that is the Olympics. The entire pathway from start to finish is money extraction from, like, the petite bourgeois. The entire USAG track is multiple $1,000 a month academies, multiple tournaments everywhere. Shouldn't call them tournaments, they're actually meets, but just like baseball, just like tennis, sports in the United States and around the world is there purely to capitalize on. It's not really there for the love of the game. And it's clearly showing right now within the Olympics because they've driven to pure efficiency. And I believe that it's now the time to just stop the bullshit and focus on stuff like climate change Olympics or feeding the poor Olympics, in which you attempt to find solutions to the world problems without wasting money on things like golf.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.